Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Run and Plays podcast presented by Wendy's. I'm Grant Lifman and I have a very special guest. Yes, it is Omri Caspi, all of your favorite warrior from, what is it, 2 years ago now? It feels like 10 years ago given the pandemic, but Omri, how the hell are you?
Good. Really excited to be on. Thank you for taking the time. I'm really happy to be with you and talk basketball. It's great. Pandemic is crazy. Everything that's going on here in Israel, we really struggle with it, unfortunately. I mean, the whole world is, but in particular, the last couple of months have been pretty bad. But happy to kind of clean my head a little bit and talk basketball.
Yeah, definitely. Let's talk basketball. So, I mean, first of all, where are you right now?
I'm in Tel Aviv, actually. Our EuroLeague season literally just started about 10 days ago. We have a pretty good team. And I'm here with my family, my wife, my two daughters, and really excited to, you know, I've been out for quite some time. I had a knee surgery on my knee cartilage surgery. So in the next 10 days or so, I'll be able to get back playing.
Awesome. And, where in Tel Aviv, and how, is this where you lived before you came over to the States, or is this a new situation for you?
Yeah, it's a new situation. I mean, it's our family home. So it's me, my wife, and my two daughters, but, before I left, I stayed mostly with my parents. I was 20 years old at the time, right after the army, so it's kind of different. But yeah, so a little bit north of Tel Aviv. So north Tel Aviv, this is where most of the families, and, you know, our kindergarten for our daughters is just around the corner. So it's family oriented. It's great.
That's awesome. So you're playing a little ball now. How's it feel?
Yeah, it's amazing. It's great. I mean, it's a different atmosphere playing in Europe than playing in the league. You know, it's every game really counts. Now the EuroLeague has changed a lot since I left. You know, it's you play 36 games a season, 34 games. So 34 games, 18 teams that we play home and away. And it's pretty intensive. So in pretty much 4 or 5 months, we play. You know, you have weeks that you play one EuroLeague game, but you have weeks that you play, you know, let's say a Wednesday and a Friday. So this is a double week. But, you know, the intensity, every game really counts. Fans are going crazy when we had fans. And it's just a fun atmosphere. It's a good level of competition, great coaching. Guys are playing great basketball, and it's fun to play.
That's awesome. What squad are you on?
So Maccabi, yeah. Play for Maccabi.
Love it.
We have a really good team. Last year we had our guy, Denny. Probably going to talk about him to the Warriors, hopefully. but then he played with us last year, last season. So it just ended. We ended our season in pretty much end of July because of pandemic. We had to postpone some of the games. It's great. Maccabi is great. Feels like home. Going back home. I played here 3 years professionally before I left to the NBA. So just like coming back home.
All right. So, I mean, you brought it up first, so I guess I have to follow up with Denny here. First of all, I just want to make sure, you know, there's a lot of people pronouncing it in different ways. It's Denny Advia, right?
Yeah, it's Denny, which usually it's not a common name in Israel. Usually Israelis call it Danny, Danny is very common. But Denny, it's not so common at all. But it's Denny and it's Advia. Yeah.
Advia. Yeah. Okay, Avdia. Yeah, people in America butcher that one quite often. I'm sure you get Omri Caspi quite a bit, right?
A lot. I, at some point, I just gave up. You know, Omri, whatever.
Just call me whatever you want. So Denny Avdia, I just got to ask you. I mean, there's rumors flying around the Warriors have the number 2 pick. Is this for real? Is he a guy that the Warriors should absolutely consider at number two?
Absolutely. Definitely consider him. Yeah, absolutely. You know, I really like him. You know, off the court, he's this very sweet guy. You know, he's 19, can play multiple positions, super down to earth, great family. His dad played basketball. His dad is Serbian. His dad played in Israel in the early 90s. And he met an Israeli woman, fell in love. They got married and they had kids. And then he is one of the kids. And then he, you know, his dad was an excellent scorer. He was part of the, people probably don't know that, but he was part of the Yugoslavia team in like early 80s, 90s. And Yugoslavia, remember, it was Serbia, Montenegro, Slovenia, Croatia, all these different countries combined together. And, you know, he was a part of that 12th, you know, player team. So he was a really good scorer, a really good player. And, you know, now Danny had a really great platform to succeed. His dad really worked him hard from a very young age. And he has a lot of basketball knowledge. You know, he's very mature and smart. He knows the game very well. To his age, obviously. So I think the system, obviously, with the Warriors, the way they play, everybody reads the game, everybody can make plays, you know, flow offense, especially now, you know, when guy's going to be back healthy, you know, he can really help, you know, and I think he actually fits his game of style in basketball. You know, he that's his game. You know, he can create plays. He's a much better defender than people think. Obviously, a lot of guys coming from Europe, you know, there's this thesis that, you know, they're not great defenders, but he's tough. He's mentally tough. He's a good guy. He works hard. He can shoot. You need to get better with his jump shot, obviously, but, you know, it can be an amazing thing for him. I'll be definitely rooting for him to go to the Warriors. It'll be amazing.
So do you think he, like, if you're going to make a position for him, obviously it's kind of a positionless NBA now, but I would say with his size, could he be an oversized wing, or is he more of a power forward? What would you say?
So he's legit 6'9". He's tall. Like, he's 6'9", tall. And, you know, I think he feels himself more of a wing. You know, he wants to be a guy that makes plays. He can make plays out of the four position, kind of point forward type game, but – you know, I think he wants to, you know, somewhere to be a little bit of a ball handler, bringing the ball up, running, you know, running the offense. I don't know how that's going to fit with the Warriors, but, you know, with the way they play, everybody can rebound and bring the ball up and right into the offense, and it fits into the system and it fits into what they're trying to do. So, you know, it'll be a great place for him to learn. You know, there's great vets, you know, being with Steph, Dre, Clay, there's so many guys you can learn from. You know, learn, you know, from obviously Coach Steve Kerr and the system. And, you know, it's an established organization. He'll fit a part of, you know, the system and everything they want to do, and part of the family. The Warriors fans are going to love him. Hopefully, I mean, really hope it's going to happen, you know. It's, you know, for a young guy coming from Israel, you know, it's you need to fit into a good, you know, organization, good system to kind of establish yourself and make yourself a name in the league. And he has the potential. He has all the tools to become a really, really good NBA player. So really hope so.
You know, when they see somebody his size, everyone goes, oh yeah, he's definitely the next Luka Doncic, you know, obviously.
Yeah.
That's not fair. That's not fair. Come on.
You know,
but
honestly, I didn't think Luka is going to be, you know, that Luka.
Right.
You know, like I thought Luka going to be good. Said, you know, he's a point guard, you know, he needs to also fit. I think he had, you know, it's amazing that he fit right into the Mavericks. I think the Mavericks is a really good fit for him. I think Coach Carlisle is really good, and he really gave him the ropes. Obviously, he's really good. So, you know, he could have probably made it anywhere, but right. You know, I didn't think he'll be a 30-point type player or, you know, 30, 10, and 10.
Right.
That's like LeBron's number or Michael's number. Or, yeah, so
yeah,
really for him. But it's not a fair comparison. Yeah, he's not Luka. Luka is Luka. Denny's Denny. He's gonna have a totally different, you know, road to success, hopefully. And it's just, you know, it's not fair.
Yeah, no, I think it's always one of those things that no one ever wants to compare a top draft pick to like a good player or role player. They always go for, here's his ceiling, he's the next blank. And it's like, why is that fair? You can't really do that to somebody. But do you think he can defend wings? Like, because that's all the NBA is now, right? It's a bunch of wings.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it can switch also from the four, if he plays four and it fits into the narrative that the Warriors are playing with. So, you know, switching four sometimes with the fives, and he can stay in front of his man, contest. He's a tough guy. He's a tough competitor. He likes to compete. He wants to play. I can definitely see that happen with him.
Well, when your playing career is over, I guess you can.
What's that tattoo right there?
This one right here? Yeah. This is it's my geographic coordinates of where I grew up. So I can see. Cool. Yeah, okay. Latitude. I have another one on my chest too. Yeah.
Really cool.
Yeah, I got it just before I went to Israel and I visited out there, and I was worried because I went to go swimming in the Dead Sea and it was still a little raw. Burn. Yeah. So that was tough.
That's cool.
So I just got to ask you, first of all, do you watch a lot of the NBA playoffs that just occurred?
I did. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I started my own podcast here in Israel, and you know, every couple of weeks, every round, pretty much we kind of did, you know, a projection to the round, and then we summarized it. And yeah, so I always stayed up to date with the guys and everything.
That's awesome. So would Omri Caspi have survived in Disney World for a bunch of months? And like, how would that have looked for you?
It's tough. It's really hard. You know, we have this problem here in Europe. We started playing EuroLeague games, and suddenly you see we have a team in Russia, Khimki Moscow, and they just had, I think, six or seven players infected and four or five staff members. And Barcelona just had Mirotić infected, so he's out. And then the Khimki team now is out, and they got to postpone the league for them for 2 weeks, and they will probably find some dates later on in the season to kind of, you know, make time to play these games. But, you know, so for, you know, it really depends, you know. On one end, I'm saying it's, like, really hard to be in a bubble like this. But on the other, like, we all love the game, and it's such a unique times. And one thing I really loved about what the league has done is they really took care of the players' health. So they tested daily, and they make sure everyone was healthy. And, you know, they're able to compete. And quite some time after, they had their families coming over as well. So they really done, you know, kudos to Adam and the team and the NBA and everyone involved. They really done an amazing job, you know, and they're fortunate to, obviously, you know, there's obviously all the social injustices and stuff like that the players were talking about. So that's also was important. And they've done really an amazing thing. And, you know, we as NBA fans, obviously, we're able to watch games now. Now it's like there's nothing to watch, and, you know, people are depressed sitting at home. And, you know, you could have seen LeBron James playing Jimmy Butler in NBA Finals. That was really, you know, somewhat of an hope, something to talk about. It was just good. It was good all around.
You did mention, just before we get to your time with the Warriors, you did mention, you know, the social activism and the fighting the systemic racism that the NBA was doing. From abroad, from Israel, what was that like seeing it happen? Because, you know, within it, in America, a lot of times, you know, you're just so deep in it with all the media coverage, et cetera, you don't really get to see from a macro level. What was it like watching that?
Well, it's a little bit different. You know, people here in Israel in general, I don't think they're as much, you know, they're very into the U.S. politics, and they always, you know, because that's a direct influence on Israel. And, you know, obviously, Israel, the U.S. obviously been the best friends of Israel for so many years. So they are engaged within the politics, and they care, and they watch. But for that perspective, I don't think that, you know, I think it made obviously a noise, and it made the news a couple of times, and people talked about it. But when you ask the common average, you know, NBA fan, I don't think they know as much about it. You know, mm-hmm. I think the guys have done and you know, talked their, you know, we're doing the same thing now with the EuroLeague, but they've, you know, talk their truth, and, you know, kudos to them, you know, kudos to the NBA handling this. It's not an easy situation from many perspectives. But, you know, they just done an amazing thing and an amazing job. And, you know, it's really great.
Just curious, being a man of the Jewish faith, and there's a lot of, you know, with everything that was happening, there was even some players, some athletes, including a former Warrior, Steven Jackson, that said some stuff, that some troubling rhetoric, even towards Jewish people. And when you were in the league, were you in the NBA, did you ever either overtly or subtle experience, you know, anti-Semitism?
Never. You know, I've always been, You know, I've been asked this question quite a lot, actually, especially over the last couple of months or so. But, you know, never. I was surprised that Steven Jackson said that. I was kind of aware of it from afar. I know Amari Stoudemire kind of commented, he played with us last year and talked to him about some of this stuff. I think there's some misperception. I think there's misunderstanding. And sometimes social media today, you know, sometimes you can repost something and you didn't really think it all the way through and can make headlines. And then, you know, it's already out there. So you got to, you know, somewhat regret it. Not just necessarily Steven, but just in general, there's some other guys, there's a football player said something. Like, that's why I think social media is such a powerful platform. You always got to really educate yourself before anything that comes out. Like, before I tweet sometimes, I'm like, I'm really reading it again. Did I misspell something?
Right. Or
let's just do a little bit more research. Like, it's really important, you know. It's the way you carry yourself. There's kids watching. You know, I also think, you know, I'm seeing sometimes, like, when Danny Green missed that three-point shot, right? You know, he got death threats and all these sort of stuff. And today we live in community and society that it's just out there, you know, like, it, you know, what's the difference to me between this and bullying, you know, somebody in school? Back in the day, you used to bully a guy in school or whatever, and he used to go home and, you know, and it's just a really bad thing to do. But today you have these NBA guys, or not just NBA guys, but just in general, like, you know, let's just be more, you know, careful between one another. And today there's all this separation, you know, right and left and this and all that, you know. It just, we gotta make sure that we treat each other with respect. It goes a long way, comes back around. It's just, we need to, you know, his wife got death threats, you know, like, right. Come on, man, like, it's basketball, and, you know, it's not the right way to go about things. So I really tried to somewhat be a bridge to connect, you know. It's just unfortunate.
Yeah, I mean, it's the extent that people go through to really bully people, and social media is just the number one culprit of this. But I remember even going back to when the Zaza Pachulia Kawhi Leonard situation happened, where, you know, he went to contest a shot, Kawhi came down on an injured ankle, and I remember Zaza was even getting threats and stuff for that, and he still gets.
That's not the world, man.
I never understood why people go that far. But let's shift to something a little more hopefully fun and enjoyable to talk about, and that is your time with the Warriors. And I mean, I'm gonna put you on the spot here. Is there one moment then you look back and you're like, that was awesome with the Warriors? Is there just one moment that ever pops up?
All the time. So many different incidents in my life, my basketball career, just so many different things. The one that stands out to me, and, you know, I hosted Steve, Coach Kerr, I call him Steve, but Coach Kerr, to my podcast. And I told the story about, there's a said a kid, but it's not really, he wasn't a kid, may he rest in peace. He was a cancer, a grown man. He was 28 years old, I think, at the time. He had cancer. He came to visit with the Warriors. And Steve, Coach Kerr, really done an amazing thing for him and his family. He hosted him in practice, talked to the mom, the whole nine yards. Really went over the nine yards to do the whole thing for the family. He hosted him for the game the next day. Clay gave him shoes, the whole thing. And, you know, a couple of weeks later, he went back home and passed away. So I'm thinking to myself, like, we have this opportunity and privilege to play basketball and to influence others. So being around the guys, being around Clay, Steph, Dre, KD, you know, Sean, Andre, the list goes on and on, Zaza, you know, seeing them on a day-to-day basis, and Coach Kerr, and the way they carry themselves, the way they treat each other, the way they treat, you know, fans, the way they treat, you know, the fans that come in to greet them after games, et cetera. It's just an amazing thing. Humbles you the right, you know, it just humbles you. And, you know, Steph is, you know, the really the pinnacle of players and the way, you know, he handles in business. So, on the court, off the court, it made me a better man, I think.
Wendy's has a breakfast worth talking about. And with this menu, you can't let anyone miss out. Go tell somebody about Wendy's breakfast. Available at participating U.S. Wendy's.
So you mentioned a bunch of big name there. You got Steph, KD, Clay, Draymond, Iguodala. Were you ever nervous when you came in and you're like, this is kind of intense. Big name people. Yeah. You ever have a little nerves?
I guess the day you obviously remember the most is the first day of training camp, I think, or the first time you get into the locker room. It's like, dude, like, Steph is right next to me, KD, like, these guys, I'm going to be able to play basketball. Like, a dream come true to play with these guys. And they're just so welcoming, and they're there to help you and make sure you feel comfortable and you're able to play the game the right way. And just great. Just an amazing organization. Not just the guys, you know, it's the whole atmosphere, the culture that, you know, Steve and Bob and obviously the owners kind of preaching down and making you feel at home. It's just an amazing, you know, an amazing basketball team, amazing culture.
You know, it's kind of I like to call it a rite of passage or so, is the first time as a new player when Draymond yells at you. You know, that's your, that's how you know you made it onto the team the first time. Do you remember the first time Draymond got after you?
Yeah, it was right when we started. It was, I think that was the year that we literally, a couple of days into camp, we flew to China, remember?
Yes.
And I think it was China or wherever we went to. And we got into first practice right off the, you know, got off the plane, you know, coach like, oh, we're going to, you know, sweat it out. And we playing, I think it was 4-4-4 full court, something like that. And I think, we're on the same team, I think. And we just lost, you know, we kept losing, you know, not losing, but like they came down and they scored. They came down and Draymond is just going bananas at me. Omri, what the hell? Like, go with us. So, and then I like, Dre, like, what? Like, you know, let's do it. Let's go. And we like, and then, you know, we hugged it. Like, we didn't fight, but like, you put like we during the season, people don't realize, but during the season, we don't really go 5-on-5 like that. You know, we don't really play and compete. And because, you know, guys are tired, guys don't want to get hurt, etc. So when you really get a chance, it's in training camp. And we were competing and, you know, just going after it. And we got over it. Coach Kerr comes to me, like, call me, I think it was coach or one of the assistants, saying, hey, you know, don't take it personal, you know, Dre, you know, he pushes himself like that. He wants to push you for, you know, he respects you or whatever. And, you know, it's just fun. Dre's a great guy. He's one of the smartest guys I've been around. You know, I think Rondo, you know, he just won a championship, but it's, mm-hmm. you know, but Rondo is one of the most, you know, thoughtful of the game of basketball that I played with. And I think Draymond is right there, up there with him.
That's interesting. It's always fun hearing the dynamics because, you know, a lot of people mention Steph Curry being very humble and the quiet leader. And then you have Draymond with the passion and the fire, and then Clay. And fans have this, there's this mystique about Clay that just makes him different than anyone else. And is it the same as a teammate? Do you guys kind of look and be like, that guy is just, he's different than everyone else?
Yeah, Clay's in his own world, you know. He's just in his own world, you know. He's just Clay, you know. I don't know how to even describe it. You know, Draymond, outspoken and always, you know, in the locker room and, you know, when there's film. But Clay is just, you know, he's in his own, you know, he always comes to work. He's always the first one in. He's always getting extra shots up. He's always, you know, doing and putting the work. He always plays hard on defense. You know, always, you know, trying to make the right play on offense, etc. But like, when it's personal life, it's just Clay. Like, just, you know, playing basketball and chilling, you know, like, you know, let me get to my FIFA, play some video games, you know, be with my dogs, be with my family. He's always been around, you know, Michael and his brothers and the rest of the, you know, the family. Ever, you know, does anything, you know, outstanding or crazy. And it's just, I love him. I think he's one of the guys that I really bonded with and, you know, I looked up to, you know, he's just a great teammate. He never complained, never, you know, make faces. Just, you know, let's just go. You know, we're in this. It's just an amazing guy.
When you were, and this is the year after you were on the team, was it shocking to you when you saw the blow up happen between Draymond and KD and just to see all that kind of unravel publicly? Did that kind of catch you off guard?
In a way, I mean, you know, the feeling, not between KD and Dre, but you know that KD came into a winning team or whatever, which I think is really unfair because they, you know, KD made this team much better than I think they're ever were. I mean, KD is just a unique, really unique basketball player. But you know, there's like this atmosphere. I never expected it to go on, you know, national TV game or right out of timeout, but it can happen. You know, guys get into it, they fight it out, you know, they hug it out after. It happens all the time. But like to get personal like that, I don't think, you know, it's just weird, you know, because I know they're such a good friends too. It's like, you know, you're fighting with your best friend. It happens, but, you know, it's just weird. I didn't expect that to happen because the culture is not, that's not who they are. That's not what they're about. They both really want to win. They both care about the team. KD always been the first message I got when I signed with the Warriors with KD's. He was like, hell yeah, welcome. You know, it just makes you like, you know, like, dude, he's about the right things. You know, like I wasn't expected to be, you know, a starter, right? So like he cares about the guys. He cares about the team. He cares about winning. Like KD's, you know, so I didn't expect that to happen, no.
Right, right. Well, you just speaking on your role quickly, I don't know if you know this, Omri, and I hope you do, because we put Drew Schiller, my co-host of Warriors Outsiders, and I put a lot of time into this. We used to bring a little hashtag we brought out called Caspi Cuts. I don't know if this ever came across your, you know, I don't know if you have your timeline maybe, but you know, you're fantastic at slashing to the rim, cutting. We used to bring up a highlight or two of it every single show because it was just so, it was really impressive stuff. And the Warriors needed that. And it seems like they need that again, right? Right. When you're looking at the team right now, I don't know how much of the team you've watched over the last year. It's definitely a different squad. But when you look at maybe the roster right now, do they need an Omri Caspi slashing type?
So I'll answer that in two ways. One, I think, you know, one of the things that, you know, I most regret, regret maybe in a way, you know, is the fact that, you know, once I got into the season with the Warriors, you know, I didn't have, you know, obviously during NBA season, it's really hard. Like, I think something mental took me away from me shooting the threes that I used to shoot. So, you know, well, when I played with the Kings or even the year after. And I kind of regret that, you know, it's just unfortunate. You know, if I could bring that full package, I think, you know, obviously me getting hurt and the team needed a point guard and all that, I never really worried about it. Obviously, I was sad. You know, I wanted to be a part of the playoff run, et cetera. But, like, it wasn't really in my control. I couldn't really do anything. I did everything right to get to that point. And you get hurt. It's part of life. But just not being able to shoot the threes and help them in that regard. Because if you do the cutting and movement and all that sort of stuff, part of the offense that we used to run and had shooting to it, I think that could have helped my case with the Warriors. And, you know, you never know. You might not get hurt. You know, it's part of the game, whatever. But so when I look at the team, I think – so that's the second part of the answer. So I think when I look at the team, I think people underestimate our Warriors. I think, you know, having the second pick, if the team keeps it, I don't know what they plan on doing it or going down to number one or going up, whatever. But I think, you know, when guys are healthy and hopefully they'll be ready to play, I think the Warriors should be a top four team in the West next year. Do they miss the cutting and stuff? I think Coach Kurt, that's what he does amazing is he's, you know, he likes to bring people that can fit his narrative and his system, and they can play without the ball. They, you know, obviously understand where they, you know, what teams you're joining, and, you know, some games you'll play more, some games you'll play less, and you got to fit within what we're trying to do. And having Steph, Clay, Dre, God willing, all of them really healthy. Andrew Wiggins, you know, coming into with something to prove, and having the second pick and adding more guys to the system, et cetera, I think they're going to be really good. So cutting is always good, you know, especially in that system. We have Steph and Clay coming off screens and you just looking around and everybody looking at them, and you can just come to the middle and there's an open lane. You can score that at whatever, 60% from the field. That's great. So it's always good. It's always part of what Steve is trying to do also. So I'm really excited for this season. I think next season is going to be a really fun NBA season.
Yeah, I mean, there's some good teams out there. The West is just stacked. There's just
– I mean, think about
incredible.
It. You got the Lakers, the Clippers in LA.
Yep.
You got the Nuggets. They should take a step up. You have the Warriors. I mean, it's just all around. I think Oklahoma took a, the Mavericks really good, right? Luka, you know, let's see what they're going to do with free agency. And you just got teams all around that, you know, I think New Orleans is going to get better next year. And you got all these different teams that, you know, competing and playing. It's just, I think Oklahoma probably going to take a step back maybe. See what they're going to do with Gallinari leaving and all that sort of stuff. But, you know, in a seven-game series when Steph, Clay, and Draymond healthy, I think Draymond got a chip on his shoulder. He really wants to, all right, I took a year off, whatever, you know, watch me now. And if they get in that mode, oh, boy, he'll be, I don't want this. I wouldn't bet against him.
And you mentioned Andrew Wiggins. Do you see the fit there? Do you think that's a good fit?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And he got the right guys around him. Like, they're going to push him, and he's going to be pushed. And it's, you know, probably the first time in his career that he's not the most talented player on the court or on this team. Maybe, you know, when he was with Minnesota, maybe Karl Anthony Towns was just as talented. But now, like, you got Steph. So, all right. So, you know, they plan every night. They're showing up to work. Fans are coming to watch them. So, you better step up. And I think that's going to push him. And I think Draymond – in his own way, he's going to push him, you know, and he's going to see what greatness is about, what winning championship is about, what winning consistency is about.
So, right.
Yeah. All these different things can really fit.
Yeah, no, and you know, also this team is just so young. It's such a different vibe to the team right now than when you were on it. You know, you were one of the veteran. It was just such a veteran team when you were on it, and now it's compromised or comprised, not compromised, I guess both. Of like a lot of young guys, a lot of rookies, a lot of first year players. And while that is good for maybe a little energy, electricity on the team, but at the same time, they need that veteran presence. And I don't know if you saw that Sean and Leandro Barbosa are now back with the team doing consult. Do you think that's important to bring that veteran presence back?
Absolutely. I think in the NBA at the end, you know, with all due respect to everything that's going on, refs respect the vets. And if you've done something in this league and, you know, and they've seen you so many times, so many years, and they refed you and they've seen you play, you know, it's totally different than a second year player. You know, when David West was talking to whoever, like, they would come and listen, you know, and they would let him get away with so much more than a rookie. It's just the natural of the game, you know, and they respect David or Sean or Andre. And even now, when I was there, we were talking to the refs all the time. We sometimes, you know, as a player, you want to put a little bit of pressure on the refs because and then they respect you, and then, you know, they don't call as much. You can get a little nub here and a shove there. They don't call a little foul on the hand that they won't call because, you know, it is what it is. It's the nature of the game. So it helps in the long run, and it helps in the playoffs. It helps when you want to win consistently. That's why a lot of young teams don't win as much because the refs don't know them. They don't give them the respect. When you go to the Spurs, you play in San Antonio, boy, they don't get calls over there, right? Because Pop is sitting on the court and, like, he's yelling at them. It's always like that. So even when we used to go there, not just with the Warriors, with other teams, like, hey, we're going to play San Antonio tonight. Hey, guys, don't expect any calls. Like, it is what it is. You know, we're playing San Antonio. You don't want to get into the refs. They're not going to call it. Just play. Poppy's yelling or whatever. So it's just a natural thing. I mean, you respect that. You know, you want to get to that point that, you know, the refs can respect you, et cetera. So having Sean in Zaza, you know, I just heard Leonardo was back with the team, Barbosa. That's absolutely amazing. You know, these guys, I never played with Barbosa, but Zaza and Sean are just amazing veterans, so much experience. They've been through it all. Literally both been through it all. I'm thinking about it just now. Like, Sean been out of league, D league. I've been with him in Cleveland. We was on a 10-day, back-to-back 10 days. And then he got a contract at the end of the year, and then he went to Brooklyn and then went to Warriors. Like, you know, you've been through it all. Players respect him. He's such a good player. Zaza, you know, being a starter in the championship team. So these guys, they're going to – I know them. They, you know, obviously going to be front office, but, like, they're going to go down to practice and talk to the guys. And it helps when you win and it helps when you lose. Hey, you know, last night, you know, here and there, you should have done that. You know, set that screen. You know, cut harder there. You know, go talk to him. You see, you know, whatever. You see Draymond yelling at the ref, go get him. You know, just give him a hug and get him out of there so he won't get that tech. You know, all these little things, you know, it just, you know, you got to be there. You got to go through some some scars, you know, and through some stuff to understand that. And they all have it. And it's just great. It's just unbelievable. The Warriors just keep winning.
Are you faithful to the Bay? 49ers 2021 season tickets are available now and locations are filling up quickly. Lock in your seats with a deposit today to secure your spot for next season. For more information, visit 49ers.com/season tickets.
Well, Omri, I really appreciate you chatting with us, and I'm excited. I want to watch you play some more. Where can Warriors fans watch any of your games?
Yeah, so we play in EuroLeague. I'll be back over the next 2 weeks. I just stayed in touch with so many friends in San Francisco. So, you know, I got into a little bit of business in San Francisco, in the U.S., in California and all. I invested a little bit in cannabis. So we have like a little cannabis brand out there called Click. We're doing that. So I do all sorts of stuff, playing basketball. It's just having fun, talking to friends, playing basketball. EuroLeague games are on. You guys can watch it. It's EuroLeague, I think, EuroLeague.net. There's like a EuroLeague TV, like the NBA says, NBA TV, some sort of stuff. So it's really great, really high basketball, really good players. We have a guy named Dragan Bender this year playing for us until hopefully we hope for him to stay with us to the end of the season. But he signed for 3 months until team free agency starts. So you guys know them with the Warriors. So he's playing with us. He's our power forward also, and he's great. So it's just fun, you know, it's just fun playing and always great chatting with you guys. I'm missing my Warriors. Hopefully they're going to, this season's going to be great. And
I appreciate that. And also, where can people find your podcast?
Yeah. So I usually, in Israel, podcasts are now up and coming. It's really a couple of years behind the US. So we use it on, I upload it on my Facebook. That's where most of the views, and Israelis, most of them use Facebook, which is great. So by Facebook, YouTube, and then I do all the audio platforms. So Spotify, Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, all of them. It's all over there. It's Omri Kasbi Podcast. It's great. I have Denny. I think one of my first ones. I think my first one was Denny, actually. Yeah, a couple of months ago. I should do another one with him pre-draft or post-draft. It would be great.
Absolutely.
So we have some subtitles too, if some people want to hear and all that stuff. So it's great.
That's awesome. I checked out your Steve Kerr one. That was fantastic as well. So
Steve is the best.
Yeah. Omri, again, really, really appreciate
it. Love you guys.
And I appreciate you staying up all night just to come on
it's
this.
It's only midnight, you know.
you got to go hit the clubs now. So I got to let you know.
Yeah.
Exactly. Thanks so much again, Omri.
Love you, brother. Thanks.
All right. Have a good one. Bye.